morning, tzaddikim are greater than malachi asharis, and the malachim who serve in front of Hashem. The Gemara brought a proof from the fact that Nebuchadnezzar said that the fourth one, who seemingly meaning he was walking behind Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, looked like an angel. Notwithstanding the Gemara, a lot of discussion in Rishonim about whether people are greater or angels are greater. And this ties into a discussion about the purpose of creation. Can we know the purpose of creation? Is man the center of creation? Was everything created for man? And so these are some of the topics that we will scratch the surface of today. Ibn Ezra, in his commentary on Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, so not wasting any time getting to the subject, he says in the middle of his commentary there, "Va'al tasim libcha ledivrei ha-gaon." Don't pay any attention to Rav Sadia Gaon, Shamar Shadam Nichbad Mamalachim, who said that man is more honorable, man is greater than Malachim. I already explained in my work, Sefer HaYasod, which apparently is lost, that all of his proofs are backwards. We know that the highest form of mankind are Nevi'im. Yoshua, who was a Navi, and Yoshua bowed down to a Navi, to a Malach. So it's like an analogy on the SAT. Yoshua was the highest form of a human being, because he was a Navi. And Yeshua bowed down to a Malach. Therefore, a Malach must be greater than a human being. What he's referring to there is in Yeshua, Perkei, Pasuk Yedaled, says, Vamar ma adonim edaber alavdo. Yeshua said to the Malach, what does my master speak to his servant? The Pasuk there says that he saw a Malach holding up a sword, and in Gemara recounts the discussion further. Why are you here? Was it because we didn't bring the Korban Tamid yesterday, or is it because when we had a break from fighting the war at night, because in those days they didn't fight wars at night, so we didn't learn Torah? And Malach said, I'm here because of Bizzle Torah. Should have gone from the battlefield to the Beis Medrash. As soon as the battle's over, go learn. And so, but in any event, Yeshua bowed down to this Malach, and he called him my master, and called himself your servant. And similarly, Zechariah and Daniel acted in ways subservient to Malachim. V'lama arich, and why should I discuss this at any greater length? It's so obvious that Malachim are greater than people. That is what Ibn Ezra says in his Perush on Gracious Aleph. He refers to Sefer HaYasod. Most people think the Sefer HaYasod is lost. Some people think that the Sefer HaYasod is another name for the Ibn Ezra's other commentary on Chumash. This does not appear in, if you look in Ibn Ezra and Chumash, what I'm going to read now does not appear. It's called Ibn Ezra HaPirush HaKatzar, the short commentary, which it's called because it's longer than his other commentary. I don't know why it's called that, actually. It is the parts that I've seen are much longer than the short Ibn Ezra comments, but we don't have it on all of Chumash, so maybe that's why it's called the short commentary. I don't really know. Pasuk that I mentioned yesterday in Parshas Mishpatim, Hine anochi sholeach malach lefanecha, I'm sending a malach before you. So Ibn Ezra writes on that pasuk, Ne'um Avraham Hasfardi Hanizkar. These are the words of the above-mentioned Avraham the Sfardi. Hine anochi sholech yad l'shoni b'gaon she'atir al nichbadim yivenu d'varav. Making a play on the pasuk. Hine anochi sholech malach. He says, Hine anochi sholech yad l'shoni. I am going to send my tongue against the Gaon, Rav Sadia Gaon, who spoke against those who were more honorable than he. Shamar shmenei adam yichpadim malachi Hashem. He said that people are more honorable than malachim. V'amar ki bavur bnei adam nivru, and he said that angels created four people. V'rayotavdi v'rechazal, and he brought proofs from Chazal, like our Gemara. Our Gemara says tzaddikim are greater than malachim. So how does Ibn Ezra explain away our Gemara? V'heim lo amru al ha-malachim ha-mitchadshim b'chol, rak al ha-malachim ha-mitchadshim b'chol rega v'divrahem emet. There are two kinds of malachim. There are the malachim who were created during the 6 days of creation, the permanent malachim, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, etc. And then there are malachim who are created every day, and they're the temporary malachim. And he says that when the Gemara said that tzaddikim are greater than malachim, it meant the second kind. Tzaddikim are greater than the temporary malachim who appear in the world briefly, serve some purpose, and disappear. But the permanent malachim, the ones who have names, they are greater than people. V'amar.
Sorry, did you learn that from tradition? Or?
It's
the double, but the two different levels.
He'll bring some logical Sorry. Proofs. Oh, you mean that
there are two different levels.
Oh.
Types, excuse me.
Say it this way. How well agreed to is that concept?
That's very well agreed to. For example, we say that when you do a mitzvah, you create a malach,
uh-huh.
Right? So obviously those malachim were not created during 6 days of creation.
Yeah.
My understanding is I can't tell you the ultimate source for it, but my understanding is it's a well accepted concept.
Follow on is who did Avraham Avinu bow down to? Were the named people named Lachim?
Rashi at least says that those were Malachim with names, like Raphael who came to heal him.
Yeah.
And so he says that Sadi Gon said that Tzaddikim must be greater than, or people must be greater than Malachim, because Malachim watch over people. The one who's guarded is obviously greater than the one who's doing the guarding. Right? The beef eaters guarding the queen, right? She's the queen. They're the guards. Okay, generally speaking, the president is on a higher level than the Secret Service agents. That's the theory. Okay, so Ibn Ezra says, "V'hu lo yadaki Yaakov Avinu gam Moshe Adonenu v'David Malkenu hayu shomrei tzon." Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu and David Melech, they were shepherds. You're telling me that the one who is being watched has to be greater than the one who's watching? They were shepherds. So does that mean that sheep are greater than people? Okay. And then he says, Yamod, Vinei Katuv, Yamod Michael Hasar Gadol. In Daniel, the Malach Michael is referred to as the great officer. And another pasuk in Daniel, Ki Michael Sarchem, Michael is referred to as your officer, referring to Kol Yisrael. V'lama nikra Sar El Yisrael v'Yisrael nichbad menu. How can Michael be called a Sar, an officer over Israel, a noble over Israel, if Israel is greater than he is? How can Hashem command those who are honorable to guard those who are smaller? And we know there are no people greater than Nevi'im. Hashem told Moshe, I will appoint a Navi from among Jewish people like you. And nevertheless, Kashera, and that's referring to Yeshua, and nevertheless, Kashera Malach Nafal Panav, when he saw Malach, he fell down on his face and vowed to him, Bamar Ma Dunim Deber Levdo. And he said to the Malach, what does my master speak to his servant? Okay. What were you asking about Yeshua?
I'm saying with that Abraham and Lot, we know that at least my understanding was from other sources there was Michal, Gabriel, etc., Ooh, I'm saying, is there, does he have a source here saying that when Yeshua was one of the named Malach?
The Malach himself says so, that I'm the Sar Tzva Hashem, I'm the general of Hashem. Okay. Certainly he's not a, Hashem doesn't appoint you don't appoint a temporary worker as the commander-in-chief of the army. So I think it was Michael, I don't remember for sure. Okay. But he calls himself, the Malach there calls himself the Sar Tzva Hashem, I'm the general of Hashem's army. Okay. He then goes on to discuss the lowliness of man, and he clearly rejects the idea that man is the center of the universe and Malachim were created for man and man is greater than Malachim. That is the Ibn Ezra. The Rambam as well.
One second before we go on. Does he address Moshe's argument discussion with the Malachim when they went up to get the Torah and Malachim said the Torah belongs up here and
what should he address?
Well, because
that doesn't prove anything one way or another. That was a discussion about whether the Torah fits the Malachim. Doesn't mean
the implication is
that if you have
man is greater.
No, it's not.
Because
not at all.
Yeah, because man has to overcome the Yetzer Hara.
You're getting way into drush. Ibn Ezra is a pshat commentator, and he is not obligated in any way by anything you just said, and is not obligated to explain it.
I guess it's why I have a drush mind.
That's fine. That doesn't obligate the Ibn Ezra. That doesn't obligate the Ibn Ezra to explain something so far from the pshat. The Rambam in Mor Nevochim, Chelek Gimel, Perek Yud Gimel, starts out, I'm going to read selections from it. He says that many people have confused their minds, many, many great people have confused their minds trying to figure out who's greater and who was created for who and why the world was created. And he says that kol poel hapoel b'kavanah hechrachi sheyeh lo oto devar shasa tachlit mesuyemet biglala nasa. Zeh pashut eino tzrich l'hochacha. He says, we can definitely agree that any intelligent actor acts for a reason. So Hashem, for sure, had a reason for creating what he created, for creating man, for creating malachim. We can agree on that. However, he says, "Dash ein makom v'bakashat tachlit l'chal metziut." However, we cannot try to figure out why. We accept Hashem had a reason for creating the world and for creating everything that's in the world. There's no way, the Rambam holds, no way we could understand why Hashem created everything. He says scientists can figure out that this interacts, you know, this bug is eaten by this bug, and this disease does this, and those are all factors in why the world is the way it is. But the ultimate purpose of why Hashem created what he created, the Rambam holds, we cannot possibly know.
Did he come before the Zohar or after?
The Rambam, the Zohar, is attributed to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who is a Tana in the Mishnah. But the Zohar was unknown at the time of the Rambam. It was lost. It was not published. It was first published shortly after the Rambam died. Okay. The Rambam, 99% of commentators on the Rambam agree that he never saw the Zohar. There are a couple commentators who try to show connections, short sources for things the Rambam writes in the Zohar, but 99% of commentaries agree the Rambam never saw the Zohar. There also is a story which is brought among other places in Avraham Avinu, that shortly before the Rambam died, he learned Kabbalah. And he said, wow, I never heard of this. If I had known, if I had time, I would rewrite all my Sfarim. It's a very nice story. You can't totally discount it because it is brought in, you know, sources like the Abarbanel. It's not just, you know, in some storybook. But it's a little hard to take seriously. So the Rambam was not aware of what we call Kabbalah. Certainly not when he wrote all the books we have. Let's put it that way. So the Rambam says, "Da ki min arayot hachazakot al chidush haolam etzel kol baal tzedek umash titkayim alav hauchacha v'nitzaim ativim ki l'chol davar mehem tachlit misuyemet." Says, the proof that the world was created, as opposed to Aristotle, who believed that the world existed forever, always existed, is the fact that everything has a purpose. And this is connected to this, and this is connected to that, and the whole, you know, study of ecology and the environment and how we see how things are interconnected. He says that's proof that the world had a creator. That doesn't happen by accident. All these intertwined relationships of things, and it doesn't, it's not logical to think it always existed that way. That's what the Rambam says. Then he says, according to our view that the world was created, again, he's, as opposed to Aristotle, according to our view that the world was created entirely from a void, that nothing existed before. So one could think that now we're obligated to figure out why the world was created. One might think that. And he says, and one could also think that the purpose of all of creation was man. So that man will serve Hashem. One could think everything was created so that man would serve Hashem. And one might think that everything that happens is in the world happens because of man, and everything that was created because of man. One might think that all the planets and all the galaxies and all the comets, everything in all the galaxies only goes around because of man. One might think all of those things, and he would be wrong, the Rambam says. I have to admit, Rambam says, that there are some psukim that if you take them literally, you might think that that's what they're saying. For example, the pasuk says, Lo tohu bira'a l'shevet yitzara. Hashem did not create the world for nothing. He created it to be inhabited. That is a pasuk in Yeshaya. Or the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Im lo briti yomam v'layla chukat shemayim v'aretz lo samti. If not for my covenant day and night, which Gemara interprets about learning Torah, it interprets it about bris milah, okay? Not for these mitzvos, Hashem says, I would never have created heaven and earth. Or pasuk says, "Vayitachem ko'el ha'shevet." Hashem, this is a pasuk in Yeshaya again. Hashem spread out the heavens like a tent to live under. These psukim seem to imply that, in fact, everything was created for man, and specifically for man to serve Hashem. However, he says that, and if the heavens, so these psukim suggest that the heavens were created for man, and if the heavens were created for man, surely everything under the heavens was created for man. All of that is what you might think. However, if you really look carefully into this, as thinking people should do, you'll see it's all wrong. Vahu. So what is wrong about this? So he says that according to this opinion, okay, you have to ask yourself, could God have created man without creating the heaven? Okay. If you say no, you're putting a limit on God. God could only have created the world this way. Could God have created the world a different way? Okay. So if you say no, you are saying that God, you're limiting God, right? God could only. Let's say without stars, or without the planet Saturn, or without carrots, or broccoli, whatever. Would the world work? Would the world work if broccoli was missing or planet Saturn was missing? Okay. And did God have the ability? If God created the world for us to serve Him, for us to learn Torah and serve Him, okay, was God forced to create broccoli or the planet Saturn or not? That's the question. Wait a second. We didn't say the argument yet, so how can you say it's a circular argument? Patience. Okay? I'm explaining the question. So Ha'ima Boreya Cholam Sio Bli Cholam Etzayim Halalu. Could God have created the world and accomplished the same purpose without everything, without all the side things, broccoli and planets? Or Efshar. I like broccoli, by the way. I just picked that randomly. Or Efshar. Or is it not possible? Shimatzeikim Lachar Kol Eila. Or could we only observe mitzvos the way we do if there was broccoli and the planet Saturn? If you say it's possible, if you say Hashem could have created man without the heavens, then you have to ask, okay, then what purpose is served by creating the heavens or creating a given fruit or vegetable? If you say that man could accomplish his purpose. Everything was created for man. Man could accomplish his purpose without a specific creation. Then you're saying that God didn't have to create that thing, which means he essentially created it for no reason. It wasn't necessary. Hold on. That doesn't mean they didn't serve a purpose at some time. His argument is, if everything was created for man, but some things are not necessary, everything's created so that man could learn Torah. But some things are not necessary. We could have learned Torah without this table. If God created this table only so that man could learn Torah, God created this table for nothing, because man could learn Torah without this table. Even if everything was because of man, and man's purpose is to serve Hashem, the question still stands. Now, for what purpose does man serve Hashem? He certainly doesn't do anything for Hashem if we serve him or not. Okay. Hashem would not be lacking anything if we didn't exist and didn't serve him. And if you say, well, God didn't do it for himself, he did it for us. Because serving Hashem is what's good for us and it makes us complete. Then you'll have to ask, what is the purpose of our achieving this perfection? Okay. And then you'll say, well, it's because I'm adding this, Rambam doesn't say it. You'll say it so we can get reward in Olam Haba. Okay. Hashem created us for that purpose. That's what the Mekubalim say. Okay. But still, then you'll ask, again, this is still me, okay, it's not the Rambam. Then you'll say, well, you know, what's in that for God? Why'd God do that? Now back in the Rambam, in the end, no matter what questions you ask and what answer you give, you will have to conclude it's what God wanted. Ultimately, we cannot answer any of these questions. Why did God create this table? Why did he create broccoli? Why did he create us? Why does he want us to serve him? Ultimately, the answer is because he does. And we can't say more than that.
He wanted a little window into what God wants.
and just open your eyes, look at the table, look at what's here.
Right, but why does God want that? Ultimately, we can never know. We can never know why God wants what he wants. And there's something that the philosophers and the Mukubalim call Ratzon Hashem. It's Hashem's will, which is beyond what we can ever know. And that's not...
Such a will exists. Quite a bit different than...
Clearly, such a will exists because Hashem created the world. Hashem had to have a will to create the world. But we can't possibly know why. And the Rambam says that we say this in davening. Atayv dalte enosh mirosh v'takiro. Lamo, it's not exactly our nosach, but atayv dalte enosh mirosh v'takiro lamo l'fanecha ki mi omar l'cha ma tasevi mitzak ma'iten lach. It's in davening. It's in Yom Kippur davening. You separated man from the beginning. You recognized him to stand before you. Who can tell you what to do? And if man does the right thing, what does it do for you? So ultimately, the authors of this tefillah are telling us there is nothing except Hashem's will. And because this is so, and if you combine that with our belief that God, that the world was created, as opposed to the fact, the belief that it existed forever, you have to conclude that the world could have existed differently. Okay. Maybe, you know, we could have had our heads on the floor and our feet in the air, and the planets could have been down there, and the carpet could have been up there, or no carpet and no people and no... Okay, the world could have been exactly the opposite or completely different than it is. Okay. And except that if you say it was all created for man, okay, then it makes no sense. You're saying that man had to be, and everything else could have been in any haphazard way if that's what Hashem wanted, because ultimately all goes back to Hashem. And he says that's simply not logical. He says, therefore, the correct viewpoint, in my opinion, according to the Torah, and he says this is consistent with logic, with philosophy, is that we shouldn't try to figure out why everything exists or how everything exists because of man. Okay. Rather, Hashem created everything for whatever reason. Hashem created everything. It has nothing to do with us. Hashem created man, the things man needs. But who says everything? Maybe this table was created for us. Maybe this table was created for some other reason and we just interact with it. Hashem created Malachim for whatever reason. Hashem created Malachim. Hashem created all the other galaxies for whatever reason. Hashem created all the other galaxies. Okay. Hashem created broccoli for whatever reason. Hashem created broccoli. Maybe connected to us, maybe not connected to us. We can't possibly know, and we shouldn't make any assumptions. And he says this also has support in the Nevi'im. Before I brought you Pesukim from the Nevi'im to support the other viewpoint, but what I'm saying also is supported in the Nevi'im. It says this is in Mishlei, Kol Pa'al Hashem L'ma'anehu. Hashem created everything L'ma'anehu. For itself or himself. And he acknowledges there are a couple different ways you could explain this. L'ma'anehu could mean for man. Hashem created everything for his sake, for man's sake. But it also could mean for Hashem created everything for God's sake. In other words, for whatever reason that God, obviously God didn't need to create anything, but for whatever reason God wanted to create, he created. And who are we? And who are we to know? Pasuk says, "Kol ha'nikra b'shmi v'lichvodi b'rativ yetzativ v'asitiv." Everything that is called in my name, I created it for my honor, and I formed it and I made it for me. Okay. So Hashem's saying, "I did it all for me. I didn't do it for you. I did it for me." Says, "Vayar Elokim kitov." Hashem saw that what he created is good. We know that the Torah speaks b'lashon b'nei Adam. Torah speaks in the language of man. Okay. The word good to us means fit for its intended purpose. Is this table good? Well, that depends. What do you want it for? If you want it for driving to work, it's not good. If you want it for its intended purpose, it's good. So good means fit for its intended purpose. So when it says that Hashem created, Vayar Elokim kol asher asah v'hinei tov ma'od, Hashem saw everything and it was very good, it means everything is very good for whatever its intended purpose is, which we can't possibly know. Now, don't make a mistake and think, well, the stars give us light, therefore the stars must have been created to give us light. So that doesn't follow logically. The stars were created for whatever purpose the stars were created. For whatever purpose they were created, they have to give off light. And therefore, since they're anyway giving off light, we benefit from them. The Z2 bus runs down Colesville Road. Does it run down Colesville Road for you? No, it runs down Colesville Road because it runs down Colesville Road and you happen to benefit from it. Yes, I know you want to say, no, Hashem put the entire bus there for the Jews to get to work and everything else is incidental. That's not how the Rambam holds. Okay. The Rambam is a Rishon and he has a different opinion.
That's the concept. So you have a general concept. Every person should view that the universe, the world was created for him.
He doesn't. The Rambam does not address that. But I did know you were going to ask, so I have an answer prepared.
Okay. Rambam answer.
Okay. It fits in with what he's saying here. The stars, he says, the stars were created for whatever purpose the stars were created, and incidentally, they give us light. The Gemara says that a person should say, "Bishvili nivra olam," the world is created for me. That's the language of the Gemara. A person should say, "The world is created for me." The Gemara says that a person should look at the world as if it's half guilty and half innocent, and his next action will affect everything. In both cases, the Gemara says a person should say, it's psychological. How should you look at the world so you don't mess it up? As if it was created for you. How should you look at the world so you don't get depressed? As if it was created for you. How should you look at the world so you don't do averos? As if your averos are going to change everything. It doesn't necessarily mean it's true. The Gemara is saying a person should say that. That's how a person should look at the world.
Okay?
And that's how a person should act. That's what I think the Rambam might say. Fits in with what he's saying here that we benefit because the stars give off light. It's an incidental benefit that doesn't mean that's why they were created. I can't tell you for sure that's what the Rambam would say, but I think that might be what the Rambam would say. So he gives a mashal. I gave the mashal of a Z2 bus. He gives a mashal of the army. The U.S. Army keeps us safe, hopefully. Does that mean that the U.S. Army was created for me? No. It was created for whatever it was created for. And incidentally, it keeps me safe, or the police force. It wasn't created for a specific person. It's just a byproduct of the fact that there is a police force and there is an army that a specific person is safe. Okay. And similarly, it's a byproduct of the fact that Hashem created all these other things for whatever reason that we benefit from. He then concludes, and he says that just as we would not try to figure out why Hashem exists, we cannot try to figure out why Hashem does what he does, and why Hashem created what he created. And don't make a mistake and think that Malachim were created for us. He says that for sure, Teda ki Adam hu shalem anichbad b'chol ma shenitaveh min ha'chomer hazeh. For sure, man is the loftiest of all physical creations, but lo yoter, but not more than that. Man is not the loftiest of all creations; he's the loftiest of physical creations. V'she'im nashveh mitziutol mitziut ha'galgalim kol shekein mitziut ha'nivalim yedal ma'od ma'od. If man would be compared to the heavenly bodies, the Rambam believed that the heavenly bodies had a soul. The planets, the stars, the galaxies, that they had souls of their own. Okay? And certainly the angels, man would be very, very lowly. And you cannot possibly think that that all of these things were created for man. This is what a person should believe. If a person will know himself and not fool himself, it'll understand everything as it is, then he'll become, he'll feel good. Why? Because he won't confuse himself and waste his time trying to find a reason that doesn't exist. Or to find a reason when the only reason is that's the way God wanted it. Okay. Or if you want, you could say it's God's will, or you could say it's God's wisdom. Either way, it's God knows, we will never know, and we should not be so haughty as to think the entire world revolves around us. Tomorrow we'll see the other viewpoint, just to foreshadow it, from Rav Meir Ibn Gabai, who lived from 1480 to 1540. Rambam lived from 1135 to 1204. So this is 250 years later. So he writes in Sefer Avodas HaKodesh, Chelek Gimel, Perek Gimel, he starts out and he says, everything the philosophers say about the lowliness of man and the lowliness of man in general and the lowliness of man compared to the heavenly bodies and the angels, he says, they're correct if they're talking about themselves. He says, Hinehu Yitzdak. No. The philosophers. Those philosophers, they're right. They're right. They are lowlier than the angels. Why, he says? Because they're making arguments that are not based on Torah. And even though the Rambam brought Psukim and Ibn Ezra brought Psukim, he's going to address all of that. Okay, that's we're going to see tomorrow, his response to the Ibn Ezra and the Rambam. But he says, they're right because they're not arguing from a Torah viewpoint. So they are lowlier than angels and lowlier than everything else. And tomorrow, here's Hashem, we will see further what Rav Meir Ibn Gavai has to say about this.